Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I am your host, Jeff Howard, and today's interview is with Leo Chor. Now, Leo gave himself the credit on the short film How to Get a Boyfriend, a film by Leo Chor. And then he didn't give himself credit for writing, directing, doing production sound, doing post sound. I forget if he edited or not, but basically it was his senior thesis at his undergraduate film school, and he absolutely kicked ass with it. It is hilarious. And even though he has a critical eye on it, everyone who sees it really enjoys it. And in fact, it is in episode 2 of the Discover Indie Film TV series. So before you hear this interview, you should really go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and look at episode 2. There's 2 films in there. Actually, How to Get a Boyfriend comes right after I Got This, which is an equally well-made film. Both are great and both are kind of darkly funny. And after you've watched that, it'd be great to listen to the interview with Leo. By the way, this interview, Leo is one hell of a unique guy. Of all the filmmakers I've met on the film festival circuit over the last, I don't know how many years, I never met one who said, yeah, I wrote, directed, and made this film, but what I really want to do is sound. I want to be the sound guy. He doesn't even want to direct, and he's good at it. He doesn't want to write, and he's good at it. So anyway, that's my far too long intro. After this interview, I'll mention some other things like the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and Film Invasion LA. But for now, let's just talk to Leo.
I did love film as a kid. I wasn't that aware of it, I think. I feel like I assumed everyone loved film as much as I did, which is like, I don't know. And then in high school, I loved like making like, they're all really bad, but like just like dumb little videos at the time with my friends. And then I just never was aware of like, that's a cool thing for me to do that I like.
Yeah, but you naturally gravitated towards a video camera as something to have fun with.
Yeah, photography and like video cameras, basically, I really liked. So I made some dumb films that they're usually dark comedy, which is, you know, what I ultimately still am doing. I just kind of stumbled into film mostly.
Like in high school, did you start taking classes? Was there a program or was it until college?
There's no program in high school.
By the way, where'd you grow up?
Not here. I was born in Canada.
Huh?
I have no memories of it, though.
I've heard of Canada.
Yeah, me too.
No, my best friend lives up there.
Yeah. Then I lived in, like, parts of Asia, basically. Most of high school was in Thailand.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, had a lot of fun there. And that's where, I took a lot of videos and pictures. My sister just gave me her camera, and it just kind of... Just little things like that.
Like she gave you a still cam or she had a video camera?
She had a DSLR, so it could do both.
Yeah.
And then I ended up making like videos for the school.
I bet they looked pretty good with a DSLR.
Yeah, especially back then. It was only like 720p, but back then it was like, that was like the 1080p of like, you know.
Now 720p was better than a DVD is 480, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. And you know, we had, my school had this like, it's a Thai tradition called White Crew. It's basically like a day where you thank your teachers. It's like a show of appreciation. And my friend and I decided to like make a video. And it turned out super successful. And I found out like, yeah, I'm actually kind of good at this. Like,
so that was like your first experience of getting great feedback?
Yeah, basically like the entire school loved it. And I just, you know, I loved that.
And how old were you? Like what grade?
16, 17.
16, 17, right? That's an important time to discover something.
I still wasn't aware, I guess, back then, like that I liked film. Because I watched the film every night, and I just didn't know people didn't do that.
Right, right. Yeah, you thought everyone's a film nut.
Yeah, because why wouldn't they?
And were you in Bangkok or?
I was in Phuket.
Phuket. Oh,
yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah, nice. It's a great place.
I love Thailand so much, but I don't want to get on a distracted thing about, I hate giving myself things to edit out of this, but I've gotten to go to, my ex was a travel agent, so right. I got to spend like almost 3 weeks in Thailand from Phuket to Bangkok to Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai?
Yeah.
All the way up to the Burmese border. So
nice.
I was like, oh, such a beautiful, such an amazing country. Yeah.
then, I guess. Because I was like, everything was
and that's,
like,
and that's for undergrad?
Yeah, yeah, everything was like business, architecture, things I just didn't want to do. So I just stumbled into film. And the first year, I just had no idea what I wanted to do. And then someone asked to help as a boom op for me. And I ended up loving doing that. I'm primarily a sound guy, actually. Uh-huh. Like, I don't want to direct.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want to? Like you would love to be production sound as a career?
My career goal is in sound, production and post both. Yeah, so I ended up doing that. But I still liked making my own films, but not as much. And then when it came time to how to get a boyfriend, that was my thesis. I really didn't want to do that.
Really? Wait, which school?
This is Woodbury University.
Woodbury.
It's in Burbank. I had zero intention of being in film or in California.
And growing up in Thailand, you learned English and you were all good with that?
I always knew English.
Yeah.
I wasn't, no, yeah.
From the Canada years or?
No, just, no. I guess, like, I have two sisters that they speak like me, basically. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no one would guess that you spent close to the first 18 years of your life overseas.
No, yeah, most people think I'm from here.
Yeah?
I don't blame them.
Yeah, you sound very L.A.
Yeah.
Maybe he was watching a lot of movies that were made here.
Honestly, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know people think there's no L.A. accent because the L.A. accent is like 98% of the movies that have come out in the last 78 years.
Pretty much.
All right, so now I understand how you ended up at Woodbury in Burbank. And the whole time, what drew you to sound? Before I start telling you that you're a good filmmaker and you should keep writing stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I just loved it. I don't know. I was like really passionate every time I got the chance to do it. I found myself the only person on set to actually care about sound and everything. So I just gravitated towards that.
Right. So it wasn't just like being on set and holding a boom and feeling involved. It was like looking at the levels, seeing how you get things to come out better.
Like, yeah, I really cared about it. And again, like I wasn't truly aware of like what I liked or wanted to do. I just like naturally did things. And I just carried on from there. And I was the go-to sound guy.
Right.
In school.
On production and then post too, you said?
Also post, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you got plenty of other experience from being on set just there, so.
Yeah, well, I assume it's an undergraduate film major, so you have to do everything.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point. And they wouldn't let you graduate without making a short.
Exactly. I really hated that idea.
So there's no shorts before How to Get a Boyfriend.
There was. There's okay. Two little ones, like class projects, basically, with the same actors also. And they're also like dark comedy. Yeah, like really, like the scope of How to Get a Boyfriend was by far the biggest for me, and I hated the idea beforehand.
Like, really, when you wrote it, you looked at it and you
not when I wrote it, but before then, the way we work, I don't know how it works at the schools. Is that for your thesis? Is that you have one semester development of the script and then pre-pro and then production and post? So it takes 2 years.
Right. First year. One whole semester writing.
Yes. The first year I didn't have an idea of what I wanted to do, and then How to Get a Boyfriend was basically like the stress of not failing the class, basically. And part of it I wanted to like do something short and simple and fun, so it ended up being it's a 5-page script. Most people's were like at least 12 or something.
Did they have a rule about how long it had to be, or just had to have a beginning, middle, and end, and as long as you had a story structure, you
were good? I was under the minimum, but they just let me slide because what are you going to do?
Maybe someone read it and thought it was good and was like, well, why force it to be longer?
Yeah, ultimately it had to be greenlit, and it did. And it just kind of, I feel like most of this is just a stumble.
Right, because it was an assignment. But I remember you said at the Q&A at Film Invasion, you said that like you had a dream about being trapped in a basement.
Yeah, that was.
And then that was the first scene you wrote. You were just like, okay, why are these people in a basement?
I mean, when I was trying to think of it, I just wanted like the cheapest and simplest to make. And I was like, maybe just one location. And I was like, how do I make a story with one location? And then that dream happened. I was like, God, like, we can do this. And I expand it. There's not just one location in the film, but I expand it from that idea.
I know for a 7-minute film, it covers nice territory. I mean,
yeah,
I realize it's hallway, classroom, basement, house.
Yeah.
So to speak, but that's a lot in 7 minutes.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, so from that dream, I wrote this first draft in like half an hour. I knew my character. Like, I just think, like, it had to be funny, so it can't be like a girl getting kidnapped. It had to be a guy, because that just instantly makes it funny. I knew which actress I wanted, because I just worked with her the past two films, and then...
Right, so she had acted in both your previous...
Yes.
And you, she was just kind of your muse. She's just someone you love to put pretty on camera.
Much. Yeah, she's great at being her character, like, just creepy, and, like, and that's the films I like to
read. Yeah, she's funny while playing it straight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I assume she's got a dark sense of humor, too, because...
Yeah, she does. Where is it going to go?
Oh, I think you were telling me... Oh, sorry if I interrupted. I think you were talking about... when you were writing, you knew who you were writing for.
Yeah, I knew who I was writing for. And then one big influence on this short, I don't know if you've read or seen it. It's called, I think it's called like How to Lose Weight in 4 Easy Steps. It started off as like a narrative article. It was basically like how to lose weight in 4 easy steps. Step 1, like cut carbs. Step 2, when you eat out, eat half, take the half home. And step 3, get your heart broken. And then it goes as 20-page rant of like this guy's journey of like getting broken up from his girlfriend and like his slip into depression and his like 3-year-long journey working out and whatever, his whole life journey basically. And then it ends with step 4, no fruit juices, too much sugar, which is, I think is a great ending.
So really good, funny writing.
Yeah, and they made it into a short, which you can see on YouTube. I didn't think it was as good, but... so that was basically like a big influence on like, I just wanted, all right, that structure, you know, just 4 steps to get a boyfriend, basically. And yeah, that and Election was a big influence.
Yeah, I know. I brought up Election at the Q&A, but yeah, I know one of the cool things about it, it's funny. So even though you have your sound guy instincts, you obviously care about the visuals, because even like that first shot, there's something filtered and kind of 50s-ish and classic about the look you went for. You know, like the way the lights behind her are.
Yeah.
Like it looks, you know, it's very cinematic.
Thanks.
You know?
That wasn't intentional.
Wasn't?
No.
You just said, give me kind of a glowy light behind her?
I didn't give too much direction to my DP. I was very loose about what he does.
Was your DP someone who shot for you in those other shorts, or?
Actually, one of them. He's not.
I mean, he's a fellow student, I assume.
He is a fellow student. He's a good friend of mine, Bren. He's not, like, a DP. Like, he's not that technical. He doesn't know that much about cameras or lights or anything. He couldn't light a scene, like, not really, like, properly, at least. I chose him partly because, like, my first choice DPs were, like, busy. But mostly, like, I just creatively, artistically, I just, like, liked his tastes in movies and everything and, like, what he, like, tends to do in his films. So I picked him. And then, like, Gaffer, Kyle, he was all the technical. Like, he's, like, a DP. And he would, like, you know, take all the technicals into his hands, basically. So...
Right. And so he set up all the lights and he
basically,
did...
Yeah.
He did all that. And he was gracious with the other guy holding the camera.
He really was. So it was very, like, laissez-faire about them.
Right, but they got the look and vibe you were going for, obviously.
Yeah, which is, I didn't really know what I wanted, I think, at the time, so...
You didn't, like, mention Election? Did you mention Election to them, or...?
No.
No?
No, I didn't at all.
No, it was just there.
Only to her, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was noticing, I peeked at it again... Mm-hmm. You know, it's always easy to watch a 7-minute short before you're about to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
It's funny. I always try to watch it again, just in case, even though I saw yours last month
or,
you know, barely last month at the festival. But even like your choice of font and stuff just feels very classic to me. You know,
I guess
when,
it is.
You know what I mean? That how to get a boyfriend, when you see that at the end.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's like you're, it is almost like a how-to that has just, you know, a vintage-y feel. I mean, it doesn't look like it's from another time.
No.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I guess there's a lot of, like, subconscious choices.
I guess so.
I did give her, for her voiceovers, I gave her the direction of, like, you know, there's, like, 50s, like, home ec classes where they, like, they teach girls how to treat their husband in a home and everything.
Yeah.
I gave her that direction on, like, how to do her voiceovers. Yeah, but I, as far as, like, I mean, yeah, visuals are still important, obviously, but I think part of, like, the style of How to Get a Boyfriend is, like, I love visual films. Like, I hate talking. I really do. Like, I've partly because I have trouble just, like, understanding words a lot, just in movies and music. Like, I miss a lot of plot keys if they just say it, basically, instead of, like, showing it, I guess.
Yeah, it is a pain. It is a pain, especially, I don't know why, but when you watch a lot, I think a lot of streaming video, it's so hard to back up, too.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, like, sound and action is too loud now and dialogue is too low.
Yeah.
So when stuff is in dialogue, it's harder to pick it up.
Now. Yeah, and, like, you miss part of the movie. And I think the movies I loved growing up, like, I couldn't really name, like, I couldn't remember a lot of the little details that's of the plot or the names or characters or whatever. I just, like, just the visual beat points I loved. I think that's what drove me to make How to Get a Boyfriend the way it is. Which you can, like, you can enjoy it without knowing what they say, basically, more or less. That's what I like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, the voiceover's there and everything else you're watching.
Yeah.
In fact, some of your dialogue is muffled by duct tape.
Yeah. Yeah. I had very little production sound in that film, which is funny. Like, as a sound guy, like, I was like, no.
Did you bring in someone to be your sound guy?
No.
So you did it on you're directing while holding a boom?
No, well, kind of, actually. The basement part, I had a guy who, like, was interested in sound. He used to be. He wasn't anymore. But I knew it was, like, really simple. Like, you just had to stand there with the boom. Like, I knew the way it went. And that went fine. And then the house part of it, I did boom myself while directing. And then eventually someone just, like, I'll just do it, Leo. Like, you don't do this to yourself. Like, all right. And it was fine, you know. Yeah, I feel like I went against what I believe in sound. When I'm working at sound, like, you gotta get the wires, you gotta get the boom, you know, I'm gonna get perfect, like, as close as possible. I didn't do that at all in my film, and it worked out great.
Really, but that was because at that point you'd shifted to visual as more important as director?
I think I just knew it didn't matter as much.
Right.
I don't know. I think, like, there's so little talking, and, yeah, like, the shots are so simple.
And you knew you were gonna do your post sound, and you knew you were gonna pour your heart into it.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but the teacher in the classroom, his voice is mine.
I did not know that to you.
Yeah, I didn't record his sound at all that then.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he never talk on camera, or you did your ADR?
He did talk on
camera.
I never...
It's funny, I just watch it in my head, I'm like, wow, now I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Now that I know your voice better.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I never intended to use his voice.
Really?
Uh-huh. I don't think he got that message.
The funny thing is, and I'll tell you, I didn't know. And I've seen it in a theater that had, they finally got some new speakers in that theater. The sound's decent now.
Yeah.
Sound used to be terrible there. And I mean, one of the things, festival film, the films that hit film festivals, so often the ADR is rough.
Yeah.
Like, ADR is probably the hardest thing for independents to pull off,
really,
because, oh, it's just, that takes a degree of technical skill. So obviously you've got it, because you didn't even try. You just recorded, and you recorded yourself.
Yeah.
And then you totally made it fit.
Yeah. Huh.
But there you go. Maybe sound is your calling. Although, I would argue that, you know, every 5 years you should write a dark short.
Maybe.
And you know, use the cool income you've got from doing PPS to, you know,
yeah,
I'm going to do another dark thing where,
right,
someone, when you were writing, did you, you know, spoiler alert, but I always tell people, like, you really got to watch this movie before you listen to the interview. So, like, were you aware, like, no, I want to make it even darker. Like, from the beginning, did you want her to not just kill people, but eat them? Or did it just, like, develop, or in writing, really? So you were just like...
I feel like the hand was there from the beginning. I don't directly remember. The only parts that changed from the first draft, the classroom scene was pretty different. It was way worse and way more pointless before. It was just like she was trying to get his attention and he like does it by doing the class move, like dropping your pencil or whatever. Right. And like, and then my friend, like he gave me a pointer of like the number one, like sociopath trait is like vanity basically. And like, they always like, it's about them and like their image. So that gave me the idea of like the grade, which I think fits her perfectly.
Right. So before it was more like filler.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. I'm glad that changed. The ending was different. I think, and she just goes to his parents' house and meets them versus them being in the house the whole time.
Right, and she's come up from there. Yeah, because that's actually his basement.
Yeah.
And so he's home.
Yeah.
I guess we get the vibe at the end that he's been defeated. He's completely under her power, although who knows, maybe he's... I don't know what happens when she comes back.
Yeah. there's no... I never even bothered to think of, like, what happens next, really.
No, you're telling the story you're telling.
Yeah.
So, obviously, did you edit it, too?
Yeah, I did all the posts except for coloring.
Because it's funny, I was going to compliment you on the lack of vanity. You're obviously not a sociopath. Because, I mean, you say a film by Leo Chor.
Mm-hmm.
But then... You don't say directed by, you don't say edited by,
no.
You don't give yourself any credit besides that ownership credit of a film by.
Yeah.
And then you do give yourself, I think, post-production sound.
I did,
sound.
Actually, because that matters to me,
Yeah, but but you were, for someone who did almost everything, you, you didn't overkill in your credits, which is kind of, I actually don't have a problem when someone throws their name everywhere. I think it's kind of like, hey, that's the truth, but. Mm-hmm. I want to compliment you on your lack of desire to list every single thing you did. You just said, you know what? People will know if there's not someone else's name.
Pretty much.
I did it.
Yeah.
So you did everything but the coloring. And the coloring came out really nice, too.
Yeah, I got that done in, like, the same place I got the DCP done, basically. It was, like, in an actual coloring place.
Place in Burbank? I mean, you're going to Culver City because you're going to school in Burbank, which most people should know is probably more technically Hollywood than Hollywood.
It is, yeah.
I mean, especially for post.
Yeah, especially. That's the backbone of Hollywood, really. The coloring session was great. I had zero coloring experience before, and that just opened my eyes. And like, 30 seconds, she made my image look so much better. It was ridiculous.
Right, she made it look better. And so she probably gave it a bit of that look, too, saying vintage, but I don't mean vintage. You know what I mean?
I do.
She must have looked at the film and seen the story and the way you shot it and lit it, and, you know, because it sort of has a very neutralized tone. There's no strong colors.
Right, it doesn't.
Yeah. But it's not washed out and, like, overly stylish, I guess.
Yeah.
Your colorist did great by you.
Thanks. Also not a conscious choice.
It's not like you shopped around. No one shops around colorists. Yeah. At that point, you end up in the room with a colorist and you're like, well,
yeah,
I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Cool. So it was, you said it was a 2-year project in the end involving school, like a semester of this and a semester of that. And
in theory it should have been, but it was 1 year really.
You got it all done in one.
Yeah.
And then did you graduate?
Yeah.
You're out?
This May actually. Yeah.
So you finished in May?
Finished it. And I've been just doing sound work ever since.
So you finished school.
Yeah.
But before that, you took this thing out for festivals.
It was after.
After?
After school, yeah.
Okay.
Because that was, I mean, I screened it for the school, and that went great. Did my changes, did the coloring, had to replace the music because I used copyrighted music first.
Smart. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
A lot of people use stuff they don't have rights to.
And yeah.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I was intending to even submit it to festivals in the beginning.
Right, because it was an assignment. It wasn't just, like, you were making it to take out there.
Yeah, I was just like, all right, I at least have a script I care about, which I really didn't think I would. Now I'm just going to shit it out and graduate and then do my sales stuff. And then ended up being actually something I was proud of.
Well, I mean, did you show it to people? Did anyone say, hey...
Yeah.
This was one of the better films. Like, did a professor say, this is one of the better films of the graduating class. Why didn't you submit it to...
I don't think...
No, that didn't happen.
Not specifically that, no. But like...
Friends?
Yeah, basically. It was like, out of like all the screenings, like, I feel like I got just the... I mean, the most... best audience response, I guess. Like, yeah, a lot of people came up to me and was like, hey, I'm like, your film was my favorite. And even like I think Pasadena Film Festival, I didn't make it to the actual festival, which sucked. But someone random just like Facebook messaged me. He was like, "Hey, I just want to say like your film was my favorite that day or something."
I was like, very cool.
Which is really cool.
Like your experience when you were 16 and you made the film for the teacher.
Actually, yeah.
Or the thank you the teachers.
I was also like, I didn't think that would be that well received, and like. Are you kidding? Like, did you see the other, like, videos? Like, yeah.
Are you a harsher critic of yourself than others, you think, or?
Yeah. I mean, as a sound guy, I'm, like, mostly listening to my sound mix. But I think the more I watch How to Get a Boyfriend, the more I hate it.
Really?
Definitely. Yeah.
All of it, or just certain there's moments?
Mostly moments. I like pretty much all the basement parts. I want to change the beginning. I think it's the most awkward, like...
You mean like when she gets knocked down?
When she gets knocked down, it's not... I feel like it's very unconvincing. But we can... That was like take two. That's all I did. Two takes. Because like the first time she like scraped her knees on the ground. So I'd rather...
You weren't going to torture her?
Yeah, I wasn't going to torture her. She's a torturer. So, I mean, when I shoot, I do very little takes. As few as I can. Like I hate... people who just do like 20 takes and then they'll do a safety take after that for, I don't know why. Like,
as a sound guy, you hate that or just in general?
As a sound guy, definitely. Yeah. As a director, I don't know. Like, I just like, I don't know. I get.
Yeah. It shows a level of indecision. Like they don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. Most of my shots were like 3 takes or less. And that's because like, I don't know what I'm going to change even if I do another take. So let's just move on.
Well, that's a bummer you hate it. I know a lot of filmmakers who aren't super happy with, you know, when they watch their own.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You have such great moments in there. I don't see how you, I still think, I just think you totally win me over when you hear her voiceover, her super calm voiceover about the next step to get a boyfriend and then she's yelling and screaming
yeah.
at the camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, the contrast between those two. And then it cuts to the guy with his mouth
yeah.
taped over. And, like, this is just so good.
Thanks. I think I found that in the cut, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I wanted at that time.
And then, yeah, like you, I'm with you on the basement. Like, the basement just feels... It's just so well done where, you know, first... And then it's him begging and screaming. And then two of them... And then it's just such a great progression to her, you know,
yeah.
and the other girl laying down.
That was my first, that was like the first shots I wanted. Like in my head, I pictured and I was like, that's going to be in the film. And then nobody believed in that shot and those shots, like those cuts. I was like, I'm gonna do this, that, that. And everyone was like, I don't know if that's going to work out. Like it might be awkward, like just sudden, the cuts are sudden, but. Yeah. But
see, that's you understanding the medium. It got exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most.
And that's you. That's probably from all those films you made as a kid. playing with that DSLR because you understood how it would cut together.
I guess. Yeah.
You definitely did, because that's boom, boom, boom. That's like a really great filmmaker I know. He talks about how, especially comedy, it's musical. Mm-hmm. It has to be musical, and it has to have the timing of music to be funny and and dark funny. And, yeah, you definitely, that's a very musical sequence of the timing. You know, if you drag those shots out longer, it wouldn't be as funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the progression wouldn't be there. Well, the funny thing is what I normally ask at some point, well, and then you had a good festival run, although it hasn't been that long, huh? So you just started the festivals. Oh, you started festivals while you were during your senior year?
No, it was after May. I don't know when I first...
So you finished school in May, and then you start, and, you know, did you already have, like, had you already sent out your resume to all the post-sound houses and gotten a gig?
I think I messed around for at least a month or two.
Good.
Yeah. I messed around, and then it's just, I think August was when I started getting calls for work, and then I just...
So it was May last year.
Yes, correct.
May 2018.
Yes.
Right, so it's been, you've been out of school for a year and a month.
That's right.
Cool.
Wow, so it's been that long.
Yeah. Right, so, and when was your first festival?
October?
October-ish?
Yeah, it was in Orlando. I actually flew out to Orlando for it.
Really?
Yeah, because my sister was in Tampa, so I might as well just go to that festival and visit her at the same time. That went... This is disappointing, because I flew out there. I was so sleep-deprived, because like, I was working like the week before and everything.
Oh, did you do a red-eye?
A red-eye?
Like, yeah, well, when you leave L.A. at like 10 p.m. and get there at 5 a.m.?
Oh, yeah, probably. Like, I did get there early in the morning.
So hard to recover from that.
God, yeah.
Can't sleep on planes anymore because the seats don't recline.
I couldn't, yeah. And then there was very little people in the block I was in, which happens a lot, I guess, in festivals.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Right, so there wasn't much of an audience.
There was meant to be a Q&A. Like, it started with, like, maybe 15, maybe 20 people. It was like, okay. And then the films are so long and slow. And mine was last. So people start leaving throughout the whole thing. And then by the time it got to me, there was like 5 people in the audience.
Really?
Yeah, it sucked. And there's meant to be a Q&A, but I just left. Because, I don't know, I don't think anyone cares. So that was, you know...
That's too bad. I've even had... I don't know who it was, but someone who works at the festival told me that a guy in June said, well, I mean, I'll come if my film is first in its block.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, you don't get it. Like, we're good to people. Like, we just put good films together,
yeah,
and then we talk to everybody, and everyone talks to each other. Like, you know, I get it. It must be murder to, like, you know, be last in, like, an hour and a half of shorts.
Yeah.
I hate it when it goes over, like, you know, a block should be like 40, 45 minutes tops.
Really, you should.
All right, so you premiered Orlando, technically.
Yes.
Cool. I believe so. So you got to, you know, go see some family and go across the country for your film.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to get on an airplane for a film festival.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I wasn't thinking that at the time. I'm so tired, but...
And then several more over the course of I guess like a 9-month run so far?
Pretty much, right? I guess so.
Well, if that was... I'm sorry, you said it was October?
I think it was October.
Yeah. Yeah, so 8-9 months.
Yeah. Next one was Studio City. That was cool. I had a good audience.
Oh, cool. Anything.
Yeah, no complaints there. And there's Pasadena, and then another, like, okay-sized festival that I keep forgetting the name of, but I miss both of them. Like one, like the first one, I was like out of the country. Second one, I literally forgot. I was looking forward to like actually going there too. I just like, told, like 3 days later, I was like, oh my God, I just
missed. Like you were really busy with work or something?
I don't even think I was that busy. I had a sprained ankle back then, but I don't know.
Wow, those programmers must have been like, I know. What happened?
I know. And then, I don't know, there's a couple live ones I just couldn't go. There's one, it was called the Lancaster Film Festival, and I was like, I'm going to go there, and it turns out it was Pennsylvania Lancaster, and I found that out like 2 weeks before, and I was like, I can't make that. It's funny, because I emailed them like...
I thought you were going to tell me, and then I looked at how far a drive Lancaster yeah. is.
Oh my God, 40 minutes. Yeah. I actually emailed them like a few weeks before. I was like, hey, can I have like Saturday over Friday and everything? And then I felt bad that I couldn't that even show up. But
No, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, my God. I mean, we talked before this about the budget a filmmaker has to make for a festival run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put in travel.
I know.
Well, so, and then what I normally ask in this podcast situation is what are you planning next? But it sounds like you're planning, or you've already told me,
yeah.
that you're looking to be, to work in sound. Have you chosen between production sound and post sound?
I mean, all my significant work is production. I find myself not caring about post as much. Like, I just take more time with like projects that I do, but yeah, I guess I'll probably end up more in production until my back breaks and I'll do post. Yeah.
So have you been busy with that?
Decent amount. Past few months have been more slow, but before that it was like, you know, just the film industry life, which is you have no life.
I'll have to tell my friends who work all the time as DPs and, yeah. and line producers. Like, I know a sound guy if you need one.
Yeah.
And no intention of making a short at this point.
I'm open to it. I'm just not. I have zero intention on it.
Right.
I'm really glad I did it because like it's been really rewarding. Both like it's like decently successful, but also like. As a sound guy, I just learned so much. Like, I may be a better crew member, basically, to, like, really know the stress as a director and everything and, like, how the other side of the film works.
Mike, because technically that was your first... Well, you made some other projects, but that was first time you're directing a decent-sized crew, I guess, or a small crew.
Like, 4 to 2 people.
Yeah, not a lot, but enough to give you a feel for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's more of an issue. I just don't come up with ideas that I care about. But also, I don't really try actively.
But that's the thing is you would have to be told you have to write a 5 to 10 pager.
Or I'll fail.
Within the next 6 weeks.
Exactly.
Then you'd sit around and go, well, what's a fun way to kill people? Because it sounds like you go for the dark humor, which,
yeah.
which I wish there was more of. I really do. I think, like you read on the website, or did I email you? I think it was on the website, right, where I said, you know, when I saw that How to Get a Boyfriend didn't get any of the awards, I was like, all right, I get it. Like, there's a high school girl who murders another girl and eats her hand in front of a guy. So I get you not giving it an award, but really, come on. It's so good. You know, I wonder if we had a best, I mean, not dark comedy, but, you know, I get it. I get how... But it's just so unfair that subject matter affects how people look at film, you know? It's so hard for comedy to get awards, and it's so hard for horror to get awards.
It is. Yeah.
And then you're doing a type of comedic horror that's known as dark comedy where, you know, it's a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you did it well.
Thanks.
And that was Leo Chor. I have to say, when someone's as humble as Leo, you know, it's kind of tough on me, right? Because I'm trying to tell him how great a job he did, and he's like, well, I got problems with it. But anyway, go to Amazon Prime Video right now,
look up Discover Indie Film and watch episode 2. And you tell me if that guy shouldn't be making more films. He should definitely make more films. He can take a little time off, focus on sound, but not that many people put together a film as good as that. Okay, well, let me wrap this all up. I've already mentioned the TV series because Leo's film is in it, but I haven't mentioned Film Invasion Los Angeles that comes up every June. That's filminvasionla.com. And the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that comes every November. That's shermanoaksff.com. And whether you want to submit films or see films, they are just really high-quality festivals in the LA area. Okay, I guess I'm also supposed to say that you can go to discoverindiefilm.com for all the information you want. Info about Leo and his film, information about all the other people who I've interviewed on this podcast, and of course, info on the TV series. So, I think we're good. I'm going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening.